U.S. News & World Report has declared that the 2016 presidential election may be America's last chance to elect a leader who will halt climate change. National Geographic Channel will premiere the second season of the Emmy Award-winning documentary series Years of Living Dangerously this Sunday, October 30th at 8 p.m., just over a week before the presidential election. Years of Living Dangerously once again features some of Hollywood's biggest influencers who are passionate about environmental issues, and it reveals emotional and hard-hitting accounts of the effects of climate change from across the planet. On the premiere in his first television project since retiring as host of CBS's Late Show, David Letterman travels to India for the first time to find out what the world's soon-to-be most populous country is going to do to expand its inadequate energy grid, power its booming economy, and bring basic electricity to 300 million citizens who have never plugged in. Here's a clip.
I'm in no position to editorialize about solar power or any kind of renewable power. I've created, excuse the expression, kind of a love affair with this. Think about the coal-fired, dangerous, smoke-belching generating plants, and then you look at this, and it's friendly. There's something very appealing about this, and it's smooth. Look at it. I can touch it, and it's safe. Put my head right there on it.
Ah! Oh my God! Oh my God! Help! Stop it! Turn it off! Stop it!
Whoa!
Wow!
I only wrote 47 emails to try to get David Letterman on the program. I was turned down, but David Gelber said yes. He's an executive producer of Years of Living Dangerously. He served as Ed Bradley's producer at 60 Minutes for 25 years, during which he won every major journalism award, including a Peabody, 2 DuPont Awards, and 8 Emmy Awards. And it's a great pleasure to welcome David Gelber to the roundtable this morning. David, thank you very much for being with us. Great pleasure to have you on the program.
I'm delighted to be here. Actually, I live in the Hudson Valley, and I listen to you guys all the time and love what you do up there.
Well, you're very nice. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Tell Dave, and maybe he'll come on with us.
he's a lovely man. He's a very shy guy. He doesn't do a lot of his kind
no,
of
I
stuff.
No, I know.
But that's why they have big name people like me standing in for him. He really loved this. I mean, this was a big deal for him. He sat behind a desk in Times Square for 30 years and it just didn't get out much, and he really cares about this issue. And the great thing, when we imagined doing this, when my partner Joel Bach and I thought about this fantasy, we used to have these lunches near the CBS building and fantasize about doing nothing but climate change, which you can't do at 60 Minutes. And they wanted to do something that would be entertaining. I mean, that wouldn't be preachy, that would tell stories that would be told them on 60 Minutes to some degree, and maybe even a little bit better. So this is all kind of like a dream come true for us. And having Dave Letterman, entertain as well as inform on Sunday show is just wonderful for us. And we also have, by the way, another story by Cecily Strong from Saturday Night Live, a wonderful comedian.
It's a great piece.
And she does a story about how the utility industry has ganged up on solar power around the country. And it's fascinating. It's not so much true here in New York State, where the utilities haven't done that for all kinds of complicated, interesting reasons. But in places like Nevada, Florida, the Sunshine State, it's just amazing to see the lengths to which these conventional utility monopolies will go to keep people from putting solar power on their rooftop, which would certainly be, help us on the climate agenda.
You sent me the first three episodes, I think, and I was watching them, and they're so well done and they're so beautiful. And I was just struck by this idea of these years of living dangerously. And you can't help at the end of any one episode to think that, well, tick tock, right?
Yeah. No, it's true. It's a race against time. I mean, we literally are in a race against time on this because, the consequences of global warming are accelerating at a much faster rate than the scientists themselves anticipated 10, 20 years ago. I mean, the ice is melting faster, the seas are rising higher, the droughts are worse, the migration that's caused by climate change, which is really going to be one of the biggest stories of the 21st century, all of these things are happening faster than scientists anticipated. You know, so that's one side of the race against time. And the other side, I guess you could say truly, that some of the solutions that are out there are coming online faster than one might have expected, whether it's electric vehicles that are solar powered, or even political solutions like putting a price on carbon. These things are happening, maybe not fast enough, but they are. But they're certainly out there.
When you go, one of the things I love about this series is that you will go to, you know, you'll go across the world, you'll go to India, but then you'll also deal with things in your backyard. You'll deal with things in your kitchen. You'll deal with things that are right here. And I think that of course addresses the question that so many of us have. Okay, but well, what can we do and more fully understand what is going on in our own micro environments?
Right. Right. I mean, it's true that, you know, we have Gisele Bündchen, who's married to a quarterback, who I think, can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He does very well. He's doing well.
He's doing okay, yeah. So Gisele goes to Brazil and does a piece basically about how the cattle industry is making, is helping to deforest the Amazon. And certainly implied in that is a desperate appeal to people to eat less meat, because there's a definite relationship between meat consumption and climate change. But, you know, so that's one of the solutions that we talk about in the series. But I think that what has to happen, this is my opinion, which is worth whatever it's worth, but we really need to focus on getting legislators to do something about pricing carbon. Because it may not be the sufficient response to climate change, but it certainly is a necessary one. Something that Obama tried to do over and over again, which is to say that you take away this subsidy of allowing polluters to dump that crap in the atmosphere free of charge, that you put a price on carbon pollution that has some that's commensurate with the damage that it does us. I mean, because it's pretty costly to have all these floods and hurricanes and droughts and so on that are attributable to climate change. And if we did put a price on carbon, we would provide a huge incentive to the private sector to invest in renewables, for polluters to pollute less. And it's such an obvious solution. In fact, it's interesting because the Chinese. I'm not a huge fan of the Chinese dictatorship, but the Chinese government is now taking this more seriously than we are, and they are imposing adopting a national cap and trade system that will be unveiled in the coming year. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the climate deniers, the people who don't want to do anything about this, talk about how, well, why should we do anything if the Chinese and the Indians aren't doing anything? Well, of course, that's totally untrue. The Chinese are doing an awful lot. They've actually surpassed us in the renewable field. They're developing. They're really getting a corner on the world market for solar panels. we're allowing ourselves to be beaten by them on developing a clean energy economy, which is insane. But then again, speaking of insanity, we have a presidential candidate who shall remain nameless, who believes that climate change is a hoax.
Yes.
Perpetrated by the Chinese to undermine American industrial strength, which is simply staggering. It is also shocking to me. I mean, it really shocking to me that he hasn't been called on this much by the media, by moderators and debates. It's an incredible thing. I mean,
well, I do
say something like that.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I agree with you, of course, but there's so much coming out. It's hard to keep up with it all.
Right. That's true. But I got to say that you know, in addition to the other stuff that he said, I mean, you know, there are several of the big headline things, but why isn't it a headline that this guy calls climate change a hoax perpetrated by the Chinese.
Yes.
I mean, that's amazing.
It is amazing. I want to go back to something that you're talking about, because I was struck by this in watching David Letterman's interview with the Indian Prime Minister. Is you
right.
can't come out of that interview. Here is a man, the Prime Minister, who is taking this very seriously, and India's role in fighting against climate change is a very serious initiative. And you do come away with this feeling that in many ways we're ahead of this, and we're doing some very positive things, but in many ways this country is lagging way behind the rest of the world.
Right. You mean which country? You mean India or us?
Well, I meant us, that we're lagging way behind. Yeah. I mean, when you see, because there seems to at least be the will there. There is an understanding of what needs to be done.
Listen, you know, it's really interesting to look at, I mean, go back to 2008, to the election then. The candidate who was best on this issue was not Obama. It was McCain, who understood climate science, thought it was a serious threat. Thought that global warming was a serious threat, sponsored a bill on it, and actually never got the support from the environmental community that he felt he was entitled to. But then 2 years after the 2008 election, the big fossil fuel money came in. I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars were dumped in the 2010 election, essentially to make sure that the Republicans would block any initiative to do something about climate change, and it succeeded. But before that, it was not so much partisan, and there was a lot of willingness on the part of Republicans to consider market-oriented solutions like cap and trade or a carbon tax to deal with this essential problem. That's what they did with acid rain.
Yeah. The series as a whole, when you look at it, this is the second season. Will there be a third? I mean, you obviously have a lot of ground that you can cover.
You know what? Honestly, the stories about climate change just keep on coming, and it's going to get bigger, not smaller, over time. Yeah, we're certainly considering a third season. I mean, we have a piece, one of the best pieces we're doing this year is a piece that Tom Friedman of The Times did about climate migration from Africa. I don't know if you saw that one or not, but it's really an amazing piece. It's a story about, you know, they're predicting that tens of millions of Africans will be forced to migrate because their land is turning into desert and they can't support themselves anymore. And we're living in a world that can't handle a million Syrian refugees. And what do we do with 60 million African refugees fleeing their infertile homelands? Crossing the Mediterranean, you know, it's not just there. I mean, it's happening. I think the Times has a piece this week on climate migration in China. There's going to be a huge problem in the Coral Triangle, the area, Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia region, where, you know, we're killing our coral reefs, and coral reefs are essential for a large percentage of our seafood, and people in those areas depend upon seafood for affordable nutrition. So that's going to go away, it's already true that seafood is declining in the Coral Triangle. So what happens to those people who don't have enough to eat? I mean, one of the big stories of the 21st century is going to be forced climate migration. That's my point. Sorry to be so long-winded about it.
Not at all.
That's where we are.
It's an amazing series, and I certainly urge people to watch it. And it is really good stuff. So well done. Sunday, October 30th is the premiere at 8:00. It's Years of Living Dangerously on the National Geographic Channel, and the second season. It's already an Emmy Award-winning documentary. The first season. So, David Gelber is the executive producer. Thank you very much for sharing with us this morning, sir. Best of luck to you and your efforts.
Thanks, Joe. Really
great
appreciate
pleasure.
It.
Thank Take you care. Very much. Again, it's the National Geographic Channel, and Years of Living Dangerously premieres October 30th, Sunday night at 8:00.